Hello, everybody. Cal Banyan here, Cal Banyan's Hypnosis, etc., with Meredith Locker. And if you're watching this video anywhere except calbanyan.com, go there now, because right underneath the video, right down there, is all the links, text, and graphics that support the program. It's really the way to go. How almost knocked over my microphone. How's it going there, Meredith?
Great, Cal. Good to be here.
You still excited?
I'm so excited. We have so much more to share today. I can't wait.
All right. Good. Hey, and as we're recording this, I'm away on a cruise with my secret project friends. We're doing the cruise of the Mexican Riviera. And so, hey, if you want to learn how to, get some residual income, help people become healthier, help yourself lose weight, help your clients lose weight, and just boost your income all around, make things a little bit more secure in these rough economic times, email me at calbanyan@hypnosiscenter.com. And you could email Celeste, too. Isn't that right, Celeste?
Where is Celeste? Oh, I miss Celeste.
Again. I don't know. It's going to take me a year to get over this. Meredith, is it okay if they get the information from you, too?
Yes, I would love that. Definitely. Meredith@yourpathhypnosis.com.
Yeah, you can give them all the information. Let's see. I think we're ready to do the review. Will you do the review for me this time?
I sure will. We've covered so much already, Cal. The first thing that we covered, the first key of the 10 keys of successful age regression, is proper client preparation, induction, deepening, and testing. So important that we get our clients ready. If we don't prepare our clients properly, if we don't ask the questions, the things that we really need to know to be able to do our age regression properly, and if we don't prepare our client mentally for where they're going to go and show them the confidence that we hold as a hypnotherapist, age regression is going to be so much harder. So number one, very, very important. Number two, choosing the correct type of age regression bridge, okay? The correct type of age regression technique. And now the main ones that we've covered are date and time regression. We've also covered the symptom bridge, the cognitive bridge, the somatic bridge, and our favorite, the king of all bridges, the affect bridge, of course. And the reason why it's our favorite, the reason why it's the king of all bridges is because it's connected directly to the subconscious mind. It's about emotions, and emotions are what's in the subconscious mind. Feelings are in the unconscious, thoughts are in the conscious, and so we want to get into that subconscious mind so that the revivification that happens in the experience at the subsequent sensitizing events and at the initial sensitizing event, so that it's more powerful. Date-time regression, great to use in certain situations. If, you think you have a client that's really disconnected from their feelings, or if they've had a recent situation where, they experienced the challenge that they're coming into you for, certainly a great place to start, certainly a great place to change gears to if the affect bridge isn't working well for you for some reason. And then you use that, and then once you get to a subsequent sensitizing event or SSE where, you can get up that feeling, then affect bridge off of there. Same thing with the symptom bridge, where you're going off of maybe a headache, something like that, something going on there. The somatic bridge is similar to the symptom bridge, but a little different. It's about, where somebody has a sensation in their body, sometimes pain. And that's, pain can be, I think, either, Cal. I think it's a little confusing there, but, because a migraine or a headache is clearly pain, and that's the symptom bridge. But the somatic bridge is usually where they have a sensation in their body, a feeling in their body, maybe something going on in their stomach. You can bridge off of that. And then the cognitive bridge is bridging off of a thought that you have there. And then we covered, of course, creating the powerful bridge. Now, it's really important that you use the right voice, the right affect, the right voice affect, essentially. The right, you send the meta message to the client that it's okay to let that feeling come up. And then you reinforce when they do let it come up by mentioning, I can see that you've connected to it, either consciously or subconsciously, because of the way you're breathing or because of the color of your skin, allowing them, giving them them the message that it's okay to let that keep coming up and that they're going in the right direction and they should continue to do that. And, you know, there's so many different ways that you can, you know, work to make sure that that affect comes up properly. You know, you mentioned the fact that you notice that things are coming up. You use the right level of emotion in your voice, not talking in the monotone, not talking in the relaxing state, but using that right level. You don't ask what the feeling is before you regress, because they may not know. They may not be able to tell you, and you don't want to do anything to block that regression. You want to remember to count backwards from 5 to 1. We like to count backwards because we like to show that they're going back in time, and then we like to count forwards to show that they're going forward in time. It's okay if you do it the other way, but as long as you do it consistently so that the subconscious mind has, you know, knows which way you're going, because that really does get set in the subconscious mind. And now, essentially, it might be confusing to people, because what I do is I count from 1 to 5, bringing the affect up, and then I count from 5 back to 1, bringing them back to the first SSE, okay? Which brings me to key number 4. Regress to an SSE, not an ISE. Now, this is so important. Most of the time, people can't go or won't go straight to an ISE. It's a lot of pressure to put on a person, to expect them to just leap to the very first time they felt that way. But if we go to the SSE first, not only is that much less pressure on the client, it's much more likely that you're going to be successful, but it's also important to have these SSEs so that we can work through them, so that we can reinforce the change in the client. We don't want to spend too much time on the SSE. We want to get the information that you need and keep going back to the ISE. And that brings us to number 5, Cal.
What's number 5? Give me the title.
It is the Fantastic 5 Questions. What you need to know about each SSE and ISE.
Exactly. Thank you. I just want to thank you so much for doing a really great review. I think it's going to bring everybody right back to where we need to be right now. Good for you. Okay. Hey, when I first started learning about age regression, you know, we would just kind of go back, and there was not really the kind of structure. I am a slave to logic, and I like to have a system. And really, five-phase advanced transformational hypnosis or hypnotherapy is a system. And when you have a system of doing the work, you build confidence in what you're doing. It's also, if you're supervising others, it becomes easier to teach and easier to supervise. And that's why we do that. Age regression is phase 2. But let me talk about why I developed the Fantastic 5. The Fantastic 5 are, I like to just get what needs to be done, and move on. And I thought, what do I really need to know? What is the most important? What's the meat and the potatoes of what I really need in each SSE and the ISE? And that is these 5 questions. So just to backpedal just a little bit, we've got the person in hypnosis. We've tested for at least stage 4, which, threshold of somnambulism, Harry-Aaron scale. And we go, there's a feeling inside you don't like that has everything to do with everybody. There's a feeling inside you don't like that has everything to do with why you came here to see me today. And as I count from 1 to 5, it comes up as strong and as powerful as it's ever been. For example, the spider thing I talked about. And I have that feeling come up strong and powerful. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Now focus on that feeling. We're going to follow that feeling back to an earlier time you felt that way. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, be there. First impression, daytime or nighttime? Is it indoors or outdoors? Are you alone or with someone? Now, underline that those 3 questions are not part of the Fantastic 5. Those are the gestalt questions, just building the background, helping them to get into the what's going on. And then we want to know these 5 things. Once they're there, be there. What's happening? Now, this is the objective stuff that's going on around them, the event. Now, they're going to subjectivize that, in other words, have the meaning they add to it. But we want to know what's happening. We want to know how old are you. So we're going to ask, what's happening? How old are you? Then we're going to ask, what are you thinking? Or what do you think about that? And then we're going to ask, what are you feeling? Now, because we're doing affect bridge, or if we're doing cognitive bridge or somatic bridge or any of those kinds of bridges, we want to switch over to affect bridge. So we're going to ask them, how are you feeling? Then we're going to ask them, is that feeling familiar or new? And we ask that question to find out if we have permission to regress them back farther. Now, let me go into each one of these in a little bit more detail, but there's the five. What's happening? How old are you? What are you thinking? What are you feeling? And is the feeling familiar or new? Now, you might not ask them in exactly those words. You might just say, okay, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, be there. What's happening? And they say, well, I'm at a picnic. Okay. And, you know, what do you think about that? Oh, I'm fine. Good. What's happening now? I'm reaching in the picnic basket. What's happening now? So until we get to a point where there's something related to the event, related to what they're coming in for, happens, we just say, what's happening, what's happening, go on, what's happening. And so we get the person, they're reaching into the picnic basket, and they say, you say, what's happening now? They go, ah, a spider just got on my hand. See, this would be the guy who's afraid of spiders. And they'd say, well, what are you thinking? Ah, that thing's going to bite me. It's going to hurt. It's going to kill me. I'm freaking out. Good. So that's what they're thinking. They're thinking that it's going to create great harm. What are you feeling? Oh, I'm feeling really scared. Okay. Is that feeling familiar or new? Familiar like, and I like to say it like this. I say, is it familiar like, oh boy, here we go again? Or is it new, like you're confused about it? And with this, we can determine whether or not we have permission to go back to an earlier time. Now, we want to know what's happening, because what they're thinking should be in line with what's happening. It should be congruent or consistent. And what they're feeling, now, plug a little bit here, the Secret Language of Feelings book. I could never be the kind of age regression hypnotherapist that I am and have the understanding I have without this understanding of the secret language of feelings. What happens is we have stuff happening in our environment. We give meaning to it. That's what we're thinking. And then our feelings come from what we're thinking. If we're thinking something bad's going to happen, we're going to feel fearful. So we look for that consistency. And then, is it familiar or new? If they say it's new, then they don't give it. Then we don't have permission to say go back to an earlier time. Then, and I'm going to show you a little way around that. But if they say it's new, then you can't say go back to an earlier time. That'd be leading the client, and you don't ever want to do that in hypnosis. They can confabulate, make stuff up, and you can create false memory. So, what you want to do is you find out, familiar or new. And if they say familiar, familiar means what? I've felt this way before. So then we have permission to suggest to them, go back to an earlier time you felt that way. Now, there's the magic. Is it familiar or new? If they say new, you're not allowed to say, go back to an earlier time. If they say it's familiar, now logic demands that that means it's happened before, and you can say, I'm going to count from 3 back to 1, go back to an earlier time you felt that way. Now, here's a little insider tip, trick, and technique. If they say the feeling is new, that means they're saying, gosh, as far as I know, as this earlier regressed aspect of themselves, like if they're 40 now and we went back to 20 and they say, no, this feeling is new, we can't say go back to an earlier time. So what I do is I say, okay, I'm going to touch you on the head 3 times. When I touch you the 3rd time, you'll be at the very first time you felt this way. Now, if being 20 years old was the very first time they ever felt this way, then that's where they'll go. But if there is an earlier event, I've now discovered or developed a way to let them go to an earlier event without suggesting it. So I'll just repeat that once real quick. Okay, they say it's new. But now I don't have permission to say go back to an earlier time. I say, good, I'm going to touch you on the head 3 times. On the 3rd time, or I'm just going to, I'm going to touch you on the head 3 times. Now, the 3rd time, you're going to be at the very first time you felt this way. Touch, 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 be there. First impression, daytime, nighttime, indoors, outdoors, alone, what's happening? And if they start recounting the first event, we're beginning to verify the event that they just recalled at 20 years old as the ISC. But here's another little secret. ISCs are almost never after the age of 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Most of the ISCs that I find, initial sensitizing events, the beginning of the problem, happen before 2 or 3 years of age. Oh, boy. You want to add something to that, Meredith? I'm just going on like a maniac.
You are. You're insane right now. That is just so much information, Cal. Thank you so much. And there is so much we could spend here. I mean, we could really do many, many podcasts on just these, you know, the fantastic five questions alone. One thing that I wanted to add was that the setting of the gestalt is so important, and that's the daytime, nighttime, indoors, outdoors, alone or with someone. And then even what's happening, the first question, I think that's kind of a continuation of the setting, the gestalt. And the reason why that's so important is because, you know, these people don't just jump and then have suddenly this flash of awareness of where they are. It kind of unfolds. It's kind of a slow awareness. Some people can see, some people can sense, some people just have a feeling that they're there. But it's really important to set the stage for them and allow them to, you know, ask the right questions to allow them to have that awareness unfold. And as that awareness starts to unfold, then they start to have the ability to answer those questions in a way that they wouldn't have been able to have it, you know, in it to answer if you just jumped right into what are you thinking, what are you feeling. Isn't that true?
Excellent observation. Good, good, good. I'd like to now move on to number six. Is there anything else you want to add?
Yeah, well, one thing that you didn't touch on, and I don't know if this is just way too deep or way too much of a tip, trick, or technique, but I really want to share the fact that it's important when you're asking these questions to make it personal. And so the way that I learned from you and the way that I do it is, you know, when I'm saying what's happening, the question before that is, are you alone or with someone? And if they say, I'm alone, then I'm going to say, what's happening alone? And I'm going to make it personal, and I'm going to keep them in that situation. And once I get their age, I'm going to start referring to them as that age. They say they're four, I'm going to say, you know, what are you thinking for? How are you feeling for? And I'm going to keep them there so that that grown-up, that sneaky grown-up, doesn't sneak into that scenario.
You know, those are all just such really good observations. You know, Meredith, we could spend an hour or 2 hours or 8 hours on each one of these keys, couldn't we?
Yes, we could.
Yeah, good. So I think what you're doing is perfect. Anything that you think is really important, then add it in there. If there's something I'm not clear about, then, you know, ask me about it, because there's somebody out there that can use that point or has that question. Good. All right. So now that segues us into number six. Number six is know how to confirm you have the ISC. Now, this is age regression mastery. When I was first studying age regression, we pretty much had the idea that when the client says, hey, the feeling is new, that I have ISC. And time after time after time, I've learned that that's not always the case. In fact, it's usually not the case. Remember when I was saying, ask them if it's familiar or new. And if they say new, say I'm going to count from 1 to 3. When I get to the third, When I touch you the third time, go to the first time you felt this way. I'd say in 99% of the cases, I'll always go to an earlier event associated with the problem. It may or may not be the ISC. I usually get, and I call these bumps, I usually get several bumps back. So as I'm going here, starting off at the beginning, bringing up the feeling, going through the SSCs until I get to the ISC, and then I say familiar and new. If it's familiar, I say go back farther. If it's new, I say I'm going to touch you on the head 3 times. Almost always, I'll get 1, 2, or 3 more bumps back to get the ISC. So let's talk about some of the most important ways to verify that you have ISC. The first one is simply that the client says that the feeling is new. But like I've just made a very good case for, that doesn't always mean that you have ISC. What you want to do next is regress them to just before the ISC. An example I use in class with the fear of spiders, a little boy sitting on the floor, and his mom is being afraid of the spider, and that makes him afraid of the spider. What I'll do is I'll say, let's say he's 3 years old. I'll say 3 in a moment. I'm going to count backwards from 1 to 5. When I get to 5, you're just going to be a few minutes before this event. 54321. And there I am. I've gotten there. And I ask him, you know, how do you feel about spiders? And now the kid's not afraid of spiders. So going just before the ISE, or the suspected ISE, or the possible ISE, take them just before and ask them how they feel about it, how they think about it. And the problem should not exist. The next thing is the cliently easily accepts information during the informed child technique. What we're going to do in the informed child technique is give him or her the information that's needed to neutralize the erroneous belief or thought that's generating the erroneous emotion or harmful emotion. And so if you're before the ISE, the child, the younger aspect of the self, will easily accept that information. And then finally, and this takes a little bit of explaining here, it should make sense given the known history of the client. Now, what I mean by this is, now, a lot of clients will come in and say, I've had this problem ever since I was 12 or 5. That is not the known history of the client. That's the subjectively remembered history of the client. Now, if the client comes in with medical records, for example, for migraines, and we've got medical records that document that the child has had headaches, they've been seeing the doctor for headaches since he or she was 5 years old, that's the known history of the client. So if I'm regressing the person back and they get to age 7 or 6, and 7 or 6 starts to look like the ISE, they're saying it's new and all that kind of stuff, don't believe it. Because we know that given the known history of the client, that the problem pre-existed the earliest SSC that you've been to. So you need to suggest that they go back to a time when they were 5 experiencing the headache. So there we'd segue to date, time, and because it matches the known history of the client. Whew, boy, we're getting close to the end. Why don't you add whatever you need to add to that to kind of make it, I don't know, give it your perspective there, Meredith.
Yeah, well, definitely there. I have the same experience that you have, Cal, where when people say that it's new, when my clients say it's new, that very, very often when I touch them on the head those 3 times, they do go back to an earlier time. And of course, I'm not saying go back because I'm not going to lead the client. I'm going to say, you know, when I touch you on the head 3 times and you're going to go to the first time you ever felt this way. And sometimes they bounce back. Sometimes they go to what I would call no man's land, where they said, I'm nowhere. Sometimes they go to a new place. And I'd say most of the time, they at least go to a new place the first time they said that their subsequent sensitizing event was new. And so we get to a new place. We may go to another new place and another new place before that. And it's not that they're lying. It's just that, you know, being in hypnosis and doing age regression can be confusing because they've got the grown-up in their head. They've got all these experiences. And maybe at the time, revivifying that event feels like it's new. And so they're going to say that it's new when in fact they actually felt that way before, but just the subconscious mind didn't cough up that information in the first place. And so when you get back to that place and you really find that they either bounced back or that they haven't gone anywhere earlier, then you want to bring them before the problem. And you, what you said about wanting to verify that the problem isn't there is so important, because I think what hypnotherapists do is they think that they have to ask, how are you feeling, generally speaking, and the client might be feeling fine. They might be feeling safe and secure, but when you specifically ask them how they feel about spiders, that's when you find out whether the issue is not there or not.
From here, and then take off with number 7, key number 7 next week. It looks like we're going to have 2 or 3 more episodes to wrap this up, but it's worth it. I'd rather go into a little more detail than just skim over anything. So, Meredith, wrap it up.
Meredith Locker here from Los Angeles, California. Thank you so much for tuning in. Looking forward to seeing you next time. You can reach me at yourpathhypnosis.com. Feel free to leave posts underneath our podcasts. Would love to hear from you. Feel free to send me emails, meredith@yourpathhypnosis.com. Any questions, any comments, really appreciate it. And I look forward to next time.
secretprojectfriends@gmail.com. You go there right now because all this good stuff's right down there you want to see. Email me, leave your comments, visit me at ourhypnospace.com, the community of among communities here. It's one of the best. It's the first really social networking and professional networking site for hypnosis professionals. And gosh, that's enough for now. I'm out of here. Cal Banyan, signing off. This recording is the property of Cal Banyan and Cal Banyan's Banyan Publishing Incorporated. All rights reserved, for private use only, may not be duplicated without written permission.